Chapter 3. Boredom made me do it.
Stab! Stab! Stab!
Nifty was aggressively slicing tomatoes with a butcher knife bigger than she was.
Beat! Beat! Beat!
She then tossed that aside and began vigorously whisking a bowl of eggs. Charlie could barely keep track of her as she scurried frenziedly around the kitchen. Little Bug hadn't even noticed she was there.
Hey, Nifty!
Charlie called out as she grabbed an apron from behind the door.
Hi!
Nifty stopped dead in her tracks and greeted her with a crazed smile. She scrunched her face.
You look like shit. I had a rough night,
the princess said as she self-consciously patted down her frizzy hair.
What can I help you with? Toast!
The tiny woman hurled two bags of sliced bread at Charlie, who barely had time to react before one of them bounced off her head. She got to work feeding bread into the conveyor toaster, trying not to doze off as she stacked the toast that popped out onto a plate.
Good morning, sweetie!
She turned to see her father enter the kitchen.
Oh, you look like shit!
She gave him a deadpan look as she opened the refrigerator to grab the butter and jams.
So do you, Dad.
Lucifer was missing his waistcoat and had his bow tie wrapped around his head like a sweatband. There was a lollipop sticking to his shirt.
I take it you had fun at karaoke night?
Oodles of it, he replied.
Nifty skittered up his body and dropped a cup of coffee in his hands. He plucked the lollipop off his shirt and used it as a stirrer.
How did your recruitment night go?
Charlie plopped down her tower of toast with the rest of Nifty's breakfast spread.
Pretty well, I think. We had a good number of people fill out applications. Alistair's looking over them for me.
Her father rolled his eyes at the mention of the radio demon's name.
Well, that's just swell, Charlie. I'm sure we'll be turning on the no-capacity sign real soon. Why don't you tell me all about it over breakfast?
He grabbed two plates and handed one to her.
Actually, I'm gonna take my breakfast to go. I've got some work to finish up in my room.
All right, but don't work yourself too hard, kid. Those bags under your eyes are big enough to hold a circus.
Charlie put two pieces of toast on her plate. Then, after contemplating for a moment, grabbed three more. She cut a hefty slice of the frittata Nifty made and overfilled her plate with some of the other items laid out.
Wow, you must be really hungry!
Nifty commented. She laughed nervously.
Yeah. Worked up an appetite after last night's party.
She poured two mugs of coffee as Nifty continued staring at her.
Your heart will give out from all that caffeine!
The tiny woman said before grabbing the rest of the carafe for herself. The princess balanced everything in her arms and headed back up to her room. After opening the door with her magic, she was surprised to see that Alistair was still occupying her bed. His dress coat and bow tie were draped neatly over her desk chair, leaving him dressed in just his shirt and trousers. He had the sleeves rolled up, and the collar was undone at the top where she had accidentally popped off the buttons. It was bizarre to see him dressed so informally. It felt more forbidden to see him like this than completely topless. Charlie's eyes lingered a little too long at the peak of his chest beneath his shirt. Then they lingered a little longer on the lean muscles of his forearms where his skin turned from gray to black. Wait, what was she doing? Was she ogling the radio demon? She quickly averted her eyes, feeling her cheeks heat up.
You're still here,
she greeted.
Yes,
he mused, not looking up from the paper in his hand.
I thought about what you said and decided you were right, and that I would recover faster in your care. Moreover, your bed is quite comfy, and I don't feel like moving.
She grinned triumphantly at him.
You don't want anyone to see you slithering down the hallway without your powers.
He looked unamused.
And that. You didn't tell anyone what happened last night, did you?
Charlie shook her head.
I figured you didn't want me to. And there's no sense scaring everyone by telling them that one of the most powerful overlords in hell almost died from an angelic wound. Not when we still don't know if and when the next extermination will happen.
He hummed in agreement.
Well, thank you for that, my dear.
See, is being grateful for your friends so hard?
She teased. She placed the plate down on the bed and offered him one of the mugs.
Here, I brought breakfast.
He sipped daintily from the cup, but turned his nose up to the platter of food.
I adore our darling Nifty, but I'm not particularly fond of her cooking.
You really should eat something,
Charlie said as she took a piece of toast for herself.
You really should eat something,
Charlie said as she took a piece of toast for herself.
It'll help you get your strength back.
He gave a defiant, and grabbed the stack of papers next to him.
I've gone through all these applications, as you requested. My notes and recommendations are in red.
Already?
Charlie took the top paper off the pile, then side-eyed him suspiciously.
You didn't just mark everyone as no, did you?
Alistair waved his hand dismissively as he sipped his coffee.
Honestly, Charlie, have some more faith in me. I saw your little evaluation box and made all the necessary comments and scoring.
He skimmed through the stack and pulled out an application, then handed it to her.
That fellow with the lobster claws is another Voxtec spy, by the way. You should keep an eye out if he snoops around the hotel again.
Aw, Chompy Pete. Really? He seemed nice. You sure it's him and not that X model from the V's?
No, Heather is surprisingly sincere, though I wouldn't let her anywhere near competitive sports.
He flicked her braid.
Or anyone with long hair.
What about that lizard guy?
Name's Ted.
He pulled his application from the pile.
Disturbingly perverted, but willing to change.
We can definitely work with that.
Charlie sat down on the bed and scooted next to Alistair, who leaned closer to show her the paper. Unprompted, he grabbed another one from the stack.
You'll never believe how poor Peppy ended up down here.
His smile widened mischievously, like he was sharing some hot gossip.
His wife caught him having an affair, and he had a heart attack while in bed with his mistress.
Oof, that's rough. Let me guess, he wants to get to heaven to reconcile with his wife?
Oh no, his wife is down here too. His mistress as well. He's trying to get away from them, but he would like to see his children again.
Alistair ripped off a piece of the frittata and popped it into his mouth. Charlie watched him and smiled, feeling a sense of accomplishment. He sorted through the applications and showed her another one.
This sad little lady calls herself Mushi. Just wait until you hear her sob story.
Charlie was enraptured as she listened to Alistair carry on about each and every potential hotel guest. She was beginning to feel some of her faith in the man being restored. He really did pull through for her when she needed it. And maybe it was because he was less threatening without his powers, but she was enjoying his company. They had polished off breakfast, reviewed all the applications, and then continued to sit on her bed and discuss the goings-on of the hotel. She hadn't realized how long they'd been chatting until she glanced at her phone and saw it was 12:30.
Shit!
The princess sprang off the bed.
Today's group activity! I totally forgot about it! Shit!
She rushed to her desk and began tossing pamphlets left and right.
Ah, I gotta have something here I can use!
She shoved a few papers under the claw of her clipboard. After taking a deep breath to compose herself, she glanced at her reflection in the window and did her best to make herself presentable. She could see Alistair behind her, watching her with an amused smirk.
You could come with me if you're feeling up for it,
she offered. He laughed.
My dear, even if I did, I'd much rather get shot in the head again than subject myself to one of your little morality lessons.
She rolled her eyes.
I figured as much. Get some rest, then. I'll bring dinner later. I'll try to find something more...
She wrinkled her nose in disgust.
To your taste.
As she got to the door, she turned back to the radio demon.
Oh, and Al? Thanks for looking at those applications. It was a huge help.
What would you do without me?
He said as he relaxed back into her bed with a smug smile.
What would I do without you?
She replied sarcastically. Alistair blew out a puff of air and watched as his bangs fluttered up for a moment before falling back onto his forehead. He was bored out of his mind. There wasn't much to do in Charlie's bedroom aside from stare out the window and people watch, but there hadn't been a single murder out on the street all day. Kiki slinked into the room a few times, and he was so desperate for something to break up the monotony that he tried to coerce her into playing with a loose string he pulled off his shirt. He could at least walk around now without falling flat on his face, but he wouldn't dare let anyone see him until his powers were fully restored. There was a knock outside the room, and he bolted up, hating how much he was looking forward to the princess's return.
"Hey, Sharshar! So I had some ideas for that empty..."
Lucifer's face immediately fell.
"Oh, it's you."
His nostrils flared in anger.
"What the hell are you doing in my daughter's room?"
The radio demon gave a staticky hum of annoyance, his grin pulling into a tight line. This was the last person he wanted to see, especially in his current state.
"Waiting for her,"
he replied with a sneer. He gestured to the door.
"Do you mind? She and I have some business we need to finish up tonight."
"Business?"
Lucifer's eyes scanned the room, then settled back on Alistair in the bed. His eyebrows rose up to his hairline. If looks were knives, he was a giant broadsword.
"What kind of business?"
"She and I are partners in this hotel, you know. And with dear Vaggy having left us for more holy endeavors, I found myself needing to help out with some of the more essential functions she performed."
"Essential functions?"
Lucifer's voice cracked high. His face was hellish red, and one of his eyes looked like it was about to bulge out of his skull. The two men stared each other down. Alistair had no clue why the King of Hell was in such a volatile mood, though he took satisfaction in knowing that just his mere presence was enough to set Lucifer off. Lucifer suddenly burst into laughter and doubled over, slapping at his knee.
"You're fucking with me! You're fucking with me! Oh, I thought for a moment you two were..."
He shuddered.
"Out of all the things I need to worry about with you creeping around my daughter, at least I know that Charlie would never want to fuck you."
"I..."
Alistair found himself utterly gobsmacked. Is that what Lucifer thought upon seeing him in his daughter's bed? That he and the princess were being... intimate with each other? His lips snarled. What a ridiculous conclusion to jump to. What's more, how dare that pint-sized imbecile imply that Charlie would be so repulsed by him to never even consider him an option? Not that he wanted her to consider him, but he was comfortable enough with his own vanity to know that he wasn't physically unattractive. Surely the princess thought the same. Before he could think of a clever comeback, Lucifer was already out the door, his laughter echoing down the hallway. A short while later, Charlie finally decided to grace him with her presence. She brought him a bloodied package of meat, which he slurped down as he listened to her prattle on about how well her lesson plan went today.
"I'm sorry,"
she said suddenly.
"I've just been blabbing about myself and didn't even ask how you're doing. Any luck with your powers?"
Alistair nodded towards the wall, where his shadow was hanging upside down like a bat and sleeping.
"That's as much progress as I made,"
he said with an annoyed smile. He rapped his knuckle against the wall and the shadow hissed at him, then went back to sleep.
"Any progress is still progress,"
she encouraged.
"So, what else did you do today?"
It amused him how genuinely interested she seemed. The princess never just made small talk. She was the type to remember every minute detail that someone shared with her. He couldn't help but be charmed by that.
"Oh, you know,"
Alistair replied in a sing-song voice.
"Rifled through your personal belongings, read your diary, replaced the liquid in all your shampoo bottles with battery acid, the usual."
"Har, har," she replied flatly. He sighed and rested his head in his hand.
"Truthfully, I've been bored to tears all day, my dear. This animal has no enrichment in its enclosure."
Well, I've got just the thing to stimulate your brain.
She brandished a file folder that was decorated with little heart and rainbow stickers. He plucked the folder from her hands, feeling how thick its contents were.
More tenant applications?
No, these are from today's activity. I asked everyone to write down something they're looking for advice on.
His grin widened.
And you want me to provide them with guidance?
No, that would be a disaster. I actually thought we could do it together, with my positive encouragement and your...
diabolical musings?
I was gonna say blunt honesty.
She swung her fist encouragingly.
Between the two of us, I think we could come up with some really good advice for folks.
Alistair contemplated for a moment, then shrugged.
All right, princess. I'll indulge you. It's not like I've got anything else to do.
Charlie squeaked with delight and hopped on the bed next to him. He adjusted his monocle and pulled the first paper out of the file folder. Alistair awoke to feel a weight on his chest. He figured Kiki thought he was a good spot to nap on again, and swept his arm to shove her off, but was met with something much bigger than a cat. It was Charlie. She had passed out on his chest, with a pen still in her hand and a paper stuck to her cheek. She must have fallen asleep on him while they were working. He didn't remember dozing off either. The last thing he recalled was laughing with her over a particularly bizarre request for advice on toe fungus. He looked back at the clock tower outside of her window. It was 4 in the morning. No one in the hotel would be up for a few more hours, and Charlie was always a bit delirious if she didn't get enough sleep. He decided to just let her be. Besides, he wasn't exactly uncomfortable in their current position. He could bear it for a little longer. He carefully pried the pen out of her hand and unstuck the paper from her face. A chunk of hair had fallen out of her braid and clung to her forehead. He wasn't sure what compelled him to do so, but he gently unstuck it and tucked it behind her ear. Charlie stirred, and his hand froze. She smiled in her sleep and nuzzled into his shirt. Alistair's chest was burning, but it was different than the pain he felt when he had an infection. In fact, he wouldn't even call this pain. It wasn't entirely unpleasant, it just felt different. He shrugged it off. He's been having a lot of peculiar feelings the past few days.